And God's faithfulness is the very foundation of our faith. And we're told here in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So we're calling on you to believe in God. I hope you are a believer in God. I hope that you do believe that he is one who can be trusted and depended upon. It says here, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that means that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. He keeps his promises. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher, and we're sticking with Psalm 40. We're coming to God's faithfulness. This is really the bedrock of faith and our confidence in the Lord whom we serve and worship. If God is not faithful, then he cannot be our God. He cannot be the one in whom we trust if he cannot be trusted. And so stick with us as we come to this message today. Also, we have now our question on what Free Presbyterians believe, and today it's about baptism. What Free Presbyterians believe about baptism. Believer's baptism is the initiatory rite of a born-again believer into the life of the church. The Lord Jesus commissioned this rite of baptism for those who repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. The apostle followed through with the Lord's command to baptize, and when we read the New Testament, it was consistently practiced. The early church followed up as well, and throughout the history of the Lord's church, where the gospel has been preached, baptism has been practiced. The Westminster Confession of Faith states also that baptism is the Lord's command to his believing people. Before I read that section in the Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 28, let me explain that the term sacrament is not Roman Catholic or erroneous in any way. The term sacrament comes from the Latin for allegiance or badge. Romans wore a badge or uniform as a mark of their allegiance to the emperor or the empire. In keeping with that understanding of sacrament, baptism declares our faith in and loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now let's read the Confession of Faith statement. Baptism is a sacrament of the New Testament ordained by Jesus Christ, not only for the solemn admission of the party baptized into the visible church, but also to be unto him a sign and seal of the covenant of grace, of his ingrafting into Christ, of regeneration, of remission of sins, and of his giving up unto God through Jesus Christ to walk in newness of life, which sacrament is, by God's own appointment, to be continued in his church until the end of the world. Simply put, baptism is an outward symbol of an inward grace. The work of grace must be in the heart prior to accepting baptism as conferred by the church. Faith and testimony of the Lord's salvation must precede an outward profession by water baptism. When a person applies for baptism, he or she will be asked for a personal testimony of their salvation and of their desire to live a godly life as a disciple of Christ. When the elders of the church are satisfied that the candidate for baptism bears the marks of conversion, including repentance from the world, calling on the Lord for cleansing from sin, and some evidence of a new life already begun in the soul, then they may proceed with the baptism. Baptisms are a function of the church. The baptism should be duly announced, and God's people invited to witness the baptism, to show support to the recipient being baptized and to acknowledge that the person is welcomed into the life of the church. While baptism is the initiatory rite into the church, yet due to government reasons, it may not mean that the person becomes a voting member. That should follow soon afterwards according to the guidelines of the local church. Baptism is, however, the acknowledgement that the church's ministry is vital to growth and future worship of the new believer. There are certain things that go together, like church, baptism, communion, and membership. It's impossible to be a consistent Christian with just one without the other. And so may the Lord lead you to personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to that personal commitment to be a baptized believer as a disciple of Jesus Christ, desiring to serve him all your days. Thank you for joining with us here on the program. And now we're turning to the Psalm 40, and we're looking at the faithfulness of God. We do rejoice that God is a covenant-keeping, promise-keeping, absolutely dependable God whom we can trust in every situation of life.
Well, I suppose it's no strange thing, but there is one essential message that we must still preach from Psalm 40. We've already had from verse 9, we have been preaching on God's righteousness, and it's something that the preacher is warned not to leave out, not to miss. Then last Sunday, we had the preaching of God's loving kindness, verse 10 and verse 11. And again, it's not something we're to hide. This is to be our ministry. We are to declare to the world that our God is not like the gods of war or the gods of anger, but our God is filled with loving kindness. Today, we come to the third thing that we must not miss, and that is verse 10, God's faithfulness, God's faithfulness. So let's read verse 10 as our text today. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. So the last one that I must preach is the faithfulness of God. Now, there are many things that we depend upon to be faithful. The gas service by which we heat our homes. The water service that provides water to our taps. The phone service, whether it's a landline or your cell phone, you want to see that signal that you have service. Or your internet provider that you might be in contact with the whole wide world. And no doubt we would very quickly change our loyalties to any provider that was unreliable. If you couldn't be sure that when you flicked on that that service would be right there, you would be very soon looking for another company to provide a faithful service. Now, there are many things that God continually provides, like the oxygen in the air that we now breathe. And every day we awake, every night that we sleep, the faithfulness of God is right there in providing the oxygen. The sunshine that without which we have no life, again, God faithfully provides. The seasons of the year. Here we are in fall, whether we like fall or not. God is faithful in the turn of the seasons. Day and night, God has remembered his covenant faithfulness. The tides of the oceans that come and go at their appointed times. And we add to that list his salvation. Now, I add that to the list because in verse 10, so does David. And he says, I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. And you'll notice how those two things are linked together. We need a Savior that is absolutely dependable. That when we need a Savior at that point and at every point, we will experience that saving grace of the Lord Jesus. And it is a fact that God's salvation is built upon His faithfulness. We would not want an emergency 911 service that continually failed. That in that hour of need, that when you make the call, the ambulance, fire, or police service, that they really do show up. If it got to the point where you felt, well, it doesn't matter where you make the call or not, they probably won't come, then you would lose absolute confidence. And nor would I expect you to trust in a Savior that was not absolutely, totally, 100% faithful to all that He promises to do. And so you can see that this faithfulness of God is an absolutely indispensable truth associated with our salvation. And if I cannot preach God's faithfulness today, how could I begin to preach the gospel of good news? Well, it might work and it might not. It might work for him, not for her. It might work one generation, but not the next generation. If God's faithfulness was not totally, ever, always certain, then we would have no gospel at all. Now, we know that in this world, nothing is absolutely dependable. There are times when you turn on the tap, there's no water. There are times when you flip the switch and there's no light. There's times when you find your house is getting cold because there's a gas leak, a rupture has happened in the gas line. And all of those services have to have their standby crews ready to fix the problem. Well, I want to announce today that God doesn't need standby crews in His plan to deliver salvation, because God is always, ever, absolutely faithful. And we can sing that hymn, and we do. Great is thy faithfulness. There is no shadow of turning with thee. And that hymn is based on James 1:17. You remember the illustration that God is always at 12 o'clock? He's always in the perfect position when it comes to His uprightness, His righteousness. It's true of His loving kindness. There is no wavering with God. There's no shadow. There's no dark spot in God's loving kindness. Well, it's also true with His faithfulness. God is absolutely indispensable. He is absolutely faithful in His dispensing of salvation. Now, our outline today on this great topic, the faithfulness of God, is simply this. God's faithfulness is rooted in His divine character. That's the first point. The second one, it's revealed in His inspired word, and it's realized in God's perfect time, and God's faithfulness is real to God's chosen people. Welcome all. Our congregation is growing. Thank you for coming. We're glad to have you. And for your benefit and for everybody's benefit, I'm going to rehearse what I just said. The message today is God's faithfulness, Psalm 40 and verse 10. It is a message that the preacher is warned not to contain or restrain on. It is the essential to the gospel. And if you cannot depend on God to be there when you need Him and to fulfill the promises that He gives, well, I wouldn't ask you for a moment to believe on the Lord as your Savior. And so this is an indispensable doctrine, and it is based upon the fact that, well, it's God's nature to be faithful. It's rooted right in His character. And of course, as we have the Bible in our hands, this truth is revealed everywhere in Scripture, and it's realized in perfect time. In other words, God's never late to deliver. He's on time. And it becomes real to everyone that believes in the Lord Jesus. Now, God's faithfulness then is rooted in his divine character. It was Martin Luther who said that our thoughts about God are too human. In other words, when we study, pray to, sing to God, we're far too quick to think of God as just a man, and that he acts the way we act and he behaves the way we behave. If we think of God as if he were a man, we're going to be in theological trouble. We will have no salvation, because man, as you know, is very unfaithful for many, many reasons. But God is always faithful, and the reason for it is that he's immutable. You understand what immutable means? He is unchangeable. And because God is perfect, he cannot change for better, and he cannot change for the worse. He remains at that 12 o'clock perfect position. He is absolutely unchangeable, and either not, he is totally faithful. It was said of Reuben, the oldest of the sons of Jacob, that he was as changeable as water. What a terrible thing to say about your first son, your firstborn. As changeable as water, unstable as water. Thomas Watson said on this subject that if men change their faces as often as they change their opinions, we would not recognize them at all. That's man for you. But God is the rock of ages. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the immutable, the eternal, with whom there is no possibility of change. He remains the same. Also, God who cannot change, he cannot lie. Even men in their best intention, they can't always deliver in their promises, like politicians. Politicians make all kinds of promises when it comes to election time, and they promise to deliver all kinds of services and new benefits to the community, and they promise they will do this and that. But then when they get into office, it's not as easy as they promised. And they have to come back and say, well, things changed and I couldn't do it. There wasn't the money and there wasn't the will and I couldn't get the cooperation. For all those reasons, I couldn't deliver if I wanted to. But that's never true with God, because he always has the resources and he always has the power and he always has the will to keep his own promises. So God cannot change, he cannot lie, and he cannot fail. And that is because he has the power to deliver what he promises. Now in the Bible, in Luke 14, you have the parable of the man who began to build but couldn't finish. He became a laughing stock. That can never happen to God. When he begins a project, when he says, I'm going to do something, he finishes the task. And that's true in our salvation. You know that text, Philippians 1:6? He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God never ceases halfway through. If you were to go to Langley Hospital and just walk through the parking lot on the east side, you would come to a big, deep hole in the ground. And there was a foundation commenced for an apartment building, I believe. But the hole in the ground has been there 2 or 3 years. And there's a fence around it, and there's nothing happening. Somehow, they couldn't finish the project that they began. That will never happen with God, because he has all the resources. And this is the confidence that Christians can have in their God. Now, I want you to read a verse with me in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Now, this is the chapter of faith. And God's faithfulness is the very foundation of our faith. And we're told here in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. So we're calling on you to believe in God. I hope you are a believer in God. I hope that you do believe that he is one who can be trusted and depended upon. It says here, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that means that he exists, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. He keeps his promises. And the things that he said he's going to do, he performs perfectly. This is the faithfulness of God. And this is what makes our God unlike the God of the heathen. The gods that are idols and fake and phony. Because those gods are presented as moody gods. Last week I talked about gods who were gods of war, and they fought with one another, and in their frustrations they take it out on man. We do not have a God who is subject to moods. Like your boss at work, you never know how he's going to turn up on Monday morning, if he's in a good mood or a bad mood. Whether to say anything to him until lunchtime or to leave him alone. He may be in a bad mood today. Let him be. We don't have a God like that. God is approachable. God is gracious. And as we come to worship him, we must take Martin Luther's words to heart. Our thoughts of God are too human. We must recognize God's essential character as one who is faithful, because he's unchangeable. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he says to his people, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. So take this to heart. God is faithful, and it's rooted in his essential character. Secondly, we come to that it's revealed in his inspired word. Now, this Bible, which is to be God's own mind revealing himself to the reader, to men. If that's true, and it is, then we would expect that in almost everywhere we turn in this Bible, we're going to discover this truth of God's faithfulness, his unchangeable character. And we do. We do. Let's begin at the beginning. Genesis 1, verse 1. Right at the very beginning. What do we have here? In the beginning, God. There is his existence, his self-existence. He was there before the world was created. And he was God before creation. He was God during the week of creation. And he's still God. That is his self-existence. Now, what kind of a God is he when he deals with men? And let's realize this. When we study God in the Bible, we're really studying about the God who deals with men. Let's go to Genesis 12, verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation. He's a God who makes promises for obedience. He's a God who gives his word, and he keeps his word. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Now, surely you would want to serve a God like that. Surely you would say, I want to have that God as my God. And I want to be praying and worshiping and praising such a one as the God of Abraham, the God who is faithful. Now, was he? Let's turn to Genesis 15, verse 1. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. This is our God. He is the one who rewards us. Why? Because we do the thing he asks us to do. And when we obey him and serve him, he is pleased to grant that reward. Now go to verse 13 and see how God fulfills his promise. Genesis 15, 13. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. So that's the promise of the promised land, that God would raise up from Abram's offspring. And you remember how the Jacob and the 12 sons went down to Egypt. They were in Egypt for all those years, but God did not forget. And at the end of those years of affliction in Egypt, God led his people into the promised land. Now read this in verse 13. Of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, that's Egypt, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they serve will I judge. Now you know the story of the Exodus. You know how that played out and was fulfilled. So this is the God that keeps his word and fulfills his promises. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.